Hello everyone and welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. We're entering episode 19 and Botty is back, everyone. This episode we talk about the Adelaide 36ers, Brisbane Bullets, Sydney Kings, Melbourne United, Perth Wildcat and South East Melbourne Magic free agencies so far and what we think might happen going forward. Our apologies to fans of the Cairns Taipans, Illawarra Hawks and somewhat the New Zealand Breakers. We do discuss them a little bit. Unfortunately, I did their teams in episode 19 and Botty just wasn't available for it. We also talk about Rob Beveridge, Chris Anstey and Paul Shirley's book, Can I Keep My Jersey? Hope you enjoyed this episode. As always, like and subscribe, review the show, I suppose, and follow, or if you have any questions, follow me and send your questions care of at NBL Pocket Pod, P-O-D, at that's at Twitter. So thanks very much. But here's episode 19 with Botty.
Afternoon, Joe.
Hi, Botty. How are you?
I'm extraordinary. Thank you for your kind inquiry.
Any news, anything on your end, like personally, that you care to share?
Personally?
You had your EPL
got a manuscript in with HarperCollins.
Okay.
No, with my NBL team, well, I'm hearing a lot of conflicting things going on there, including the management might be looking at Jerome Randall, which would probably fly in the face of the coach's wishes. So we could have some issues evolving here in Adelaide.
Well, I mean, well, why not? Well, we'll start with the first thing that's happened today. You've seen that Ty Wesley.
Yeah.
Are you surprised by that?
Yes and no. I thought when he went back to New Zealand that he was probably going to be there for, you know, a 2-3 year period. Mm-hmm. So it surprised me that I didn't pay attention that he only signed for one. Coming back to Melbourne doesn't surprise me. Perhaps coming back to joining the Phoenix out of that might be the thing that surprised me. But they've been very proactive and you know, with Mitch Creek and also in their pursuit of Nathan Sobey and their success in signing Ben Magin, they've been very proactive. So ultimately, no, it doesn't surprise me. I think it's a pretty good move.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, he signed a 3-year deal. He's currently an import and will more than likely tick over as a local perhaps next season or the year after.
Now explain that to me. How's that happened?
Well, that I don't know. All I'm doing is following off Liam Santamaria. So apparently his father is Fijian. His mother is American, born in America. And then he was under the Oceania rule last season, quantifying him as a local. And then that seems to have, that rule has dissipated. And now he is considered an import for this season until he gets, I believe, sort of citizenship to New Zealand, I think is what he's going for.
Right.
And that would make, then wouldn't that make him a local?
That's a very interesting sequence of events, isn't it?
Very.
And very interesting. Because he's been playing as a local for quite some time now.
Yeah. What I understand of it, though, is he's soon to become naturalised anyway. It's just a matter of the New Zealand government getting around to making it official.
Yeah.
He signed a 3-year deal. Does that length of time with a new club like South East Melbourne, is that standard?
No, I reckon that would have been, he would have had the bartering power because they start from a clean slate. So if he wanted 3 years, he could have got it, and obviously did. I would have thought from a Phoenix point of view, two with an option for a third would have been their preferred deal with him because it protects them a little bit. Because you know what, some players just get old overnight.
Yeah.
They really do. Some just keep going into their 40s. And you can think of Darryl McDonald and players of that ilk. But then there are the guys that they have a great year like Alex Loughton did 2 years ago for Cairns. And then this year, it all caught up with him.
Yeah.
You know, and it can, so you, referring that back to Ty Wesley, you don't know whether he might have 3 fabulous years in him. No question. But he might only have one. He might only have 2. So he's done well. But they've done well to get someone like that. That's a core piece. He's a good man in the locker room as well.
I think, as you said, I think it's a pretty fair trade either side. You know, they get a name, an established name in the NBL going forward to recruit others. he gets a pretty good deal. I mean, I've just looked, he's 32, so, you know, that deal will take him to 35. That's pretty handy for him. So, you know, you get win-win, I think.
Yeah, and it's also interesting, though, because we don't know what the behind-the-scenes machinations might be in New Zealand, because they have some players that are playing in various spots around the world, in Europe, that may be wanting to come back. So maybe the Breakers, you know, are heading in a different direction too.
Yeah, I mean, looking at them, like Sean Long is obviously resting until he goes to, I believe, NBA Summer League. Is he likely to return to the NBL and to the Breakers?
Well, Corey Williams is floating a rumour that he's going to join the Wildcats, which probably had zero credibility, as does Corey on his predictions, has zero credibility, because, you know, they still need that third import, and don't you forget it. They're not going to win a thing without that. But
this year was an aberration.
Sure. But then Angus Brandt's decision to go and pursue a career in Europe, a good decision from his point of view, obviously.
From a monetary standpoint or a...
Well, just from a life experience and financial, but mainly a life experience. Just can he compete at that level on a consistent basis? You know, like, it's, players want to test themselves. Good players always want to test themselves in the best possible atmospheres and against the best possible opposition. You know, like, nobody didn't want to play the dream team in 92. Everybody wanted to play them. They knew they're going to get their brains blown out, but you want to test yourself against those guys. Yeah. So from his point of view, I think that's a terrific move, but that therefore definitely opens up a centre position. And because they did succeed with two imports, Long suddenly might actually have legs.
Maybe. I mean, did Angus Brandt play in Lithuania? I thought he had.
I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head. We've had so many players go through Europe. I mean, I know Brock Modem did and Brad Newley did, and you can keep going. But honestly, I don't know.
Quickly on New Zealand, I mean, you look at it, they have the most amount of players under contract coming into the free agency: Corey Webster, Abercrombie, Shaley, Weeks, Delaney, others. What do you think they'll do with their team now that they've lost perhaps arguably their second best player?
Well, I think they're probably all signing for 1 year, because everyone wanted to see what the new ownership was going to be like. Ownership wanted to see what the players were going to be like, the new coach, how that was all going to work out. So I think most of that stuff is now established. So I would be surprised if the bulk of those guys didn't re-sign.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they've got, so still a free agent, they've got Wesley, who's moved on, Sean Long, Majok, Amani Moore, Patrick Richard. Will they?
Let's get back to Majok. He never looked happy at any time during the season. In fact, whatever the exact opposite of happy is, that's what he was.
He didn't play. I just didn't see him.
Yeah, they couldn't. Kevin Braswell couldn't find that spot in the rotation for him. And, you know, that's just the way it is. Some coaches can, some coaches can't. Some coaches want to go different directions. It's not anybody's fault, but I would be surprised if he wanted to stick around. If a club like a Cairns reached out, you know, given that they're not re-signing Lucas Walker and they probably need some help in the front court.
Yeah, they've receded his club option and put him into free agent. Do you think it's at all likely that he does return on a new deal with them?
Really. I don't know. If a coach didn't fall all over you the first year, why is he going to win the second year? You know. Although with Wesley departing, again, you got to wait to see what pieces they pick up. But I would be very surprised if Patrick Richard or Amani Moore were. I just thought they were way too erratic to hold, and I think that was symptomatic of their team because, on their best days, they had some really good ones.
Definitely.
But on their worst days, God, they were really awful. There was nothing in between. You were either getting 30 or you were getting 3.
Yeah.
It was sort of horrible stuff, and I don't think you can go forward if you've got imports who can't consistently give you exactly what you require of them.
And I think it really showed that last game when they were still kind of, there was a sniff of the playoffs. Who'd they play?
Yep.
Adelaide.
Yep.
And they were just firing away from the outside with no hope. I think sort of their backcourt caught a lot of heat, Shaley, Weeks. I think you put it best there with, like, the imports as well weren't dependable, and that also added to it. I think they were sort of really unfairly kind of hit a little bit. Like, I really like Jared Weeks this season. I thought he was, or last season, I thought he was good.
Yeah, I thought he should have been well in contention for most improved, and I thought he had a terrific year. But the way the league is, and I think we've discussed this before, if you're going to go with an Australian point guard, he's got to be really good. It's got to be a Damian Martin who's going to bring something, some point of difference that no one else has, and he's got Bryce Cotton running alongside him. So it's a combination. And I don't think Shai Ili had the sort of support he needed in the other spot, and neither did Nathan Sobey. And so they were the guys that struggled at times.
Let's go back to Adelaide. So we'll go through the top sort of the guys that finished out of the playoffs, in the playoffs and just out of Adelaide. So Joey's contracted. He's got 3 years. Well, my question is, I don't want to sort of ruffling feathers by asking this, but has Joey Wright become a bit of a nuisance? Like, I heard so much that sort of Sobey has now decided to sign with Brisbane because he doesn't like what's going on in Adelaide. But it seems like guys don't enjoy playing for Joey Wright, which comes as a surprise to me.
When he says he doesn't necessarily like what's going on in Adelaide, we are all looking at his relationship with Joey Wright, but that may not be the full story. Mitch Creek didn't have a bad relationship with Joey Wright, and he's never coming back here.
Yeah, no, exactly. Plus,
so maybe don't. Maybe let's not confuse what the situation is. Joey and Nathan butted heads. They had a volatile relationship the whole 4 years. There was nothing really that great at the end of their relationship that wasn't already there at the beginning of their relationship. So it might have just been got to the point where Nathan and Joey just didn't need that anymore, so they're moving on. You know, Joey's relationship with Adam Gibson over a long period of time, coaching him at Brisbane, coaching him at Adelaide, reached the point. Yeah, there you go. Oh, sorry, I even left one out. Exactly. So when it got to that, there was a certain point. Yeah, I obviously did. Which is poor form because I love that as a holiday, especially now that they've got a chance.
I think there's a chance in another team there. Anyway, yeah, sorry to say.
Well, all I'm saying is that there was a point at which Joey and Adam sat down and thought, you know what, to maintain a relationship and a friendship that we've built over a long period of time, we don't want to be coach and player anymore. So Adam moved on to Brisbane, and they still have, from what I understand, a terrific relationship. So there might just be a time when you need a different voice. And I think Nathan's issues in Adelaide may not have been exclusive just the coach, although I'm not disputing for a second that was a problem.
What about, what was I going to say? Would I be right in saying Joey Wright is like Vegemite? You either love him or you hate him. Or is that fair to say about Vegemite?
Vegemite is great if you know how to spread it. Mm. If you get too much of it, it can be quite very distasteful.
It's interesting you say, I think very much about what the strength of Vegemite is, not so much the Vegemite, but the accompaniment, the toast, as well as the quantity butter to Vegemite. But that's a separate story.
Well, no, it's very pertinent to what we're talking about because you've made the analogy with Joey.
Yeah.
And you know, if you get a bit too thick with Vegemite, it gets distasteful. So maybe the situation with Joey has become uncomfortable between him and management because I think there is when management starts to look at who they're going to recruit and you're suggesting you don't want a particular player and they're suggesting we're going to get that player, you're starting to create a work environment that's becoming a little untenable, and that's the way it seems at the moment from the outside. You know, but we could be drawing the wrong conclusions, but I suspect we're not.
Do you think Sobey's, like, it is, people are reporting it as fact that he is going to sign a multi-year deal at Brisbane?
I would say that's pretty close to correct, yeah.
Do you think that's a good choice for him?
It depends what his motivation is for Brisbane. If it, I would move to Brisbane in a heartbeat. Love that city, but so you're asking the wrong guy because I'd go there just because of the city. But he goes, he plays for the Boomers coach.
Yeah, it's never a bad situation.
And that's never a bad situation if you're looking at it being a Tokyo Olympian and that there may be one spot possibly, you know, and it could, you're there. Yep. So, and maybe that'll bring the best out of him because there'll be a certain level of discipline that Andre Lemanis requires that Nathan needs in his game and possibly doesn't have at the moment. And that may have been the point at which he and Joey could no longer get along.
Fair enough. Looking around at this team, who's still around? You've got under contract is DJ, Drimmick, McVeigh. Wiley's come back on that deal.
Yep.
Did they sign? Oh, Harry Froling and Ramon Moore they picked up.
That's it. So that's the basis. Ding is a free agent. Doyle is a free agent. I don't think they're picking up Doyle.
No.
I think because I'm pretty sure Sean Bruce didn't do himself any harm in the little stretch that he had here.
I think he's being looked at
very positively, not just by the 36ers. So I would be surprised if Sean Bruce wasn't back in the league, just to sort of segue a bit away from Adelaide. Yeah. But, they've got the core. I mean, Harry Froehlich's going to nominate for the draft, so that opens up a potential can of worms.
Did his camp know that he was always... He's this draft. Did they always know that? I thought he was going to win the next years.
Yeah, I think he was, because he signed here for 2 years with the intent then of using these 2 years and Joey's expertise in developing NBA players to move on to the draft. So I think this has kind of come as a bit of a shock that he's going into this next draft.
Because
so.
I don't know if I'm thinking over the top here, but I think he's actually a bit of a chance to go late in the second round, a guy that can sort of, I don't know how the NBA works, especially with the stashing of guys overseas and having a seven-footer who's pretty agile and can shoot, and you don't have to pay him, and you can let him mature overseas. So,
well, in which case, it might be a deal that works back in Adelaide's favour.
Mm.
You know, it could work out that way as well. But I felt he was underutilised. I know he had a few issues with fouling, and there are occasions where he was a little bit undisciplined. But generally speaking, I thought he also had a lot of bad luck. Yep. And I would have played him a bit more, I'm guessing, if I was in that coach's chair. But then I'm not, so I can say whatever the hell I want. You know,
my question then is, can DJ and Froehlich play on the court together?
I would really like to think so, because then you sort of go, okay, you bring in a star point guard. Like, you go after a Casper Weir, you go after a Melo Trimble, and I'm pretty sure they put a bid in for Melo Trimble. You get someone like that, you move Drimmick to the two, you got Wiley at three, DJ four, Froehlich five, and you go, you know what? That doesn't look too sick. That looks all right.
I agree. And Froehlich, I'd like him at this sort of mid-post, high-post, even three-point line, kind of tinkering around and taking, if he gets a good matchup, going down low, and DJ can step out. I would like to have seen more of it. We, as you said, we didn't see a lot of it last season, and I think next year they're going to have to.
Well, I think Joey actually likes to go small rather than go big. And what we named there was pretty much a big lineup. So whether that was to work out that way or not, all I'm saying is that there are enough good pieces
to do
for Adelaide to still be competitive, provided the backroom machinations don't come out and sort of cause problems for the team and the coach. And at the moment, you know, there seems to be a bit of a problem.
What do you think about Conga? Do you think they'll bring him back? Do they have
an interest? No, absolutely not. None.
Because they don't have an interest, or they shouldn't?
Both. They need a point guard. So you've got Wiley and Moore already signed. So you've only got one import. If you need a point guard, you know, that's the way you've got to go. You've got to go down the Melo Trimble path. That's the direction you've got to go. So that immediately eliminates Conga.
Yeah.
That's just in terms of what the team needs. Now, looking at Conga, I think Conga is a terrific player.
Same.
And he's a pretty decent bloke too. But the reality is he didn't fit the system that they were, you know, he fit Bevo's system the year before. That was where he was comfortable. So it's one thing that I've seen this before, and I don't know how far back you go, Joe, but the 36ers boy had a man called Willie Farley.
Oh, I remember
back
Willie Farley.
2001, sure. Too, right. And they won a championship.
I mainly remember him at the Razorbacks, if I remember.
Yeah, right. And then he went to the Razorbacks, and he was ordinary.
Mm.
He went from a superstar in our league to ordinary because he was in an environment that no longer suited him. And then when he came back to Adelaide subsequent to that, he was runner-up to Brian Withers for the MVP. So it's all about environment. So I would in no way, shape or form diminish Demetrius Conga as a basketball player, but he's got to be in the right atmosphere, and I don't think Adelaide provided that.
Sneakily, just quietly, I think maybe Sydney Kings. Anyway, Majok Deng, do you think he re-signs? Is there interest in re-signing him? Should he re-sign? Two-part question.
I haven't talked to Majok for a while. I say that from the point of view is I don't know what he's thinking right now.
Mm-hmm.
But he definitely went backwards this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was some issues within the team in terms of just where everybody fit, what the roles were. I think there was... It wasn't the smoothness of the previous season where everybody kind of knew where they fit and what their role was and what they were going to do, when they were going to come in, what they were expected to do. And he struggled. So whether he wants to come back into that environment or whether he's seeing that he's going to get more court time this season coming with Adelaide, and so it would be in his interest to stay. Yeah. I don't know what he's thinking, but I reckon right now you could potentially lure him away from Adelaide, which 12 months ago, if he'd been out of contract, you couldn't have.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think with him, I'm always surprised when he shoots it. It's a very unique action, but it's highly effective. I think his defense was poor. I think mainly not due to technique.
Sorry, did you say he played defense? You gave him credit for defense. He rang Daniel Kickett up wanting tips on how to play defense.
I think it's mainly not. It's more due to size, just his actual physical size. If he can put on some weight, he'll be able to do better.
Yeah, you got to want to do it too. I mean, the players' eyes lit up when they had a little bit of, they pulled him a little bit out of the key where he knew you could drive straight past him. So his lateral quickness needs work. But as an offensive player, he's very reliable. You know, he gets going and he can fill it up in a quarter and change the course of a game, as we've seen him do. But we didn't see him do that last season. Mm-hmm. So as I said, he's probably more vulnerable now to an approach from an interstate club than he would have been 24 months ago.
I mean, looking at this team last year, I would have probably said, and I don't know if you agree, Adelaide's biggest weakness last year was probably half-court offense and then just defense. Like, they were what? Opponent field goal points per game, they were last. They gave up 96 a game, and then second last in field goal percentage, so they gave up the highest percentage. That would be a concern for them, or that's something they got to address. And I guess the biggest way you do that is, as we said, target that high-end point guard, the Trimble.
Right. If your half-court offense isn't working, it's because you're not running much. And they didn't run much. They ran a lot of hero ball and just pass it to one guy and he's going to back you in, or he's going to try and take you off the dribble and four other guys are standing around watching. They did a lot of that, which is not what Joey Wright's teams over time.
Yeah.
I noted for. So it was, and again, that was possibly why Conger didn't fit, because him breaking down an opponent, maybe he wasn't as comfortable with that as just moving and receiving and finishing, you know. So their half-court offense stank at key moments all the time. But again, the point guard spot,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people were raving on about Nathan Sobey, and I think he's a terrific basketball player and athlete, but as a point guard, no, he doesn't work for me. I don't see it happening. I don't think he makes the right decisions. And, yeah, there's your half-court offense. So you put a good point guard in, and you kind of solve a big portion of their problems. And a good point guard will muster up the group defensively too, and make sure that things are happening. Yeah, because, look, it was their defense was diabolical.
Yeah.
And a lot of what Joey wants is generated by defense and running out of defense. Yeah. And so if you're not playing it, well, there's a third of your game gone. If your half-court game's cracked, then now we're at two-thirds of your game gone. How are you going to win?
Yeah, true. My next question is, like, so we've mentioned Trimble that they're kind of would be interested in. Is there anyone that we wouldn't know by name who they're targeting internationally, who's in the miasma somewhere?
I'm sure Joey is in contact with
someone.
A few young men coming out of college, yeah, you know, in the same way as he was well across Harry Froling and well across Jack McVay and
do you know any names?
Anthony Drimmick. No, not at this time. Because Joey's in the States at the moment, so haven't been able to catch up with him for about 2 or 3 weeks. And things, a lot of pieces are floating in the air, you know, and things change very rapidly when player A gets signed, and then you go, okay, well, now we want B, and if we get B, we're going to need F and G. You know, so, yeah.
But that would be the top of the dartboard, that point guard.
Yep.
Just before we move on to Brisbane, Rob Beveridge, obviously left Illawarra, now isn't anywhere, which is a huge surprise to me, and I'm sure a bunch of others. Did you see it happening like that?
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. I felt that the Kings courted him. There was, you know, through the media too,
and
talking about, yeah, well done. And there was all of the story about how, oh, yeah, he's coached Andrew Bogut, and Bogut endorses him, and he's coached Kevin Lish and Brad Newley, and blah, blah, blah. And I think pretty much it was, most of us thought it was a fait accompli.
Absolutely.
Then management of the club changes. AEG Ogden is no longer sole owner. In fact, I think they're out completely now, and TSE is running it. So you bring in a new management, and they want to stamp their imprimatur on it, and so they go, okay, well, you know, this guy's pretty good, but let's look at some of these other candidates.
Do you know Will Weaver? I know of him as a G League, and he's doing well, but I don't know him anymore.
I know of him in the same way, and also that he's been a Boomers assistant coach, etc. However, the point I would make is that there's two categories. Will Weaver might actually be in the third category, but there's two categories of American coaches that have done that have coached in our league, and there's the ones that have come here, played or coached and become Australianized, and then gone into coaching and become successful. Joey Wright's a case in point. Brian Gorgian's a case in point. Bruce Palmer. You can go on. Brett Brown. These are guys that came here and became Australianized.
Yeah.
So that's one category, and they are inevitably successful because they understand their culture. They understand how we function. They understand that your name's Brian, not Coach. Okay. So that's Australia. Yeah. Now there's a secondary category, and that is Americans that are brought in cold, and they inevitably flop. Right, nice. Guys that have no idea, like Dean Demopoulos, Joe Connolly, you can run through the list over the years, fail, because they come in, and with all due respect to many of them, I think they just think they're coming to some sort of backwater, and they know it all, and they're not going to be told, and guess what? They're gone very soon because they fail.
Yeah.
So now that's the two categories. Now there is a third.
Okay.
And the third category, which is I only just realised as we're talking, Joe, is that American coach who actually has had a little bit to do with Australian basketball, so he's got a little bit of an idea. And like Mike Dunlap falls into that category. Yep. He came and ran clinics for Brian Gorgian and Bruce Palmer, etc. So he had a bit of an idea. So he had a bit of success before he wore out his welcome. And Will Weaver, again, he comes in cold, not in that second category because he does have a bit to do with the Boomers as an assistant coach, so he has a little bit of an understanding of our league. So hopefully he'll be a success for him. But looking at it from the outside, I think Rob Berry is the best coach in the country without a job.
I think he's the best. Yeah, I agree. I think he's one of the best coaches around. I mean, the landing spot I had for him was maybe like the only team with a coach even close to out of contract is Cairns with Mike Kelly. He's got a year left. Would they kind of swallow a year on that if Beveridge said, I'll commit to a small team long term? Mike's done a good job. I don't know. I don't want to. But, it's Rob Beveridge.
It is Rob Beveridge, but I think Cairns is prepared to grow with Mike.
Okay.
And they put their eggs in his basket. Yeah, and they're going to. They see him as a long term prospect as it is.
For good reason, I think.
Yeah, and so to bring in Bevo just in a short term for what does it achieve? I don't think it achieves much unless he wants to do a Gordy McLeod and sort of come in as Gordy did towards the end of his career and assist Aaron Fearn for a year or two before retiring. But I think Bevo's a long way from retirement.
I agree.
And so I can't see that happening.
I mean, outside of that, there's not an NBL coaching job for the next. As I said, Mike Kelly's out of contract at the end of next season. Everyone else is contracted for two, three. Will Weaver's signed for how many years he has? I don't know what Beveridge does. I don't know where he goes. Would he look internationally?
Well, he's coached in China before, and at short notice, he picked up the Scotland team for the Commonwealth Games and got him into the medal rounds. I mean, he's a phenomenal coach.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think there'd be a few coaches now that would be thinking, I better do well.
Mm.
I better do well because there's a pretty good coach waiting in the wings. Yeah. Like if I'm Kevin Braswell right now, I might be thinking, well, I've got to get a much better result in year two. And by the same token, Rob isn't the only great coach that's not in our league right now. Sean Dennis, his contract in Japan is up at the end of the 18-19 season, so he becomes available. Mm-hmm. And Paul Henare, I think he's one of the best coaches going around. He's sitting in an assistant role with Melbourne United right now. So we actually don't have enough teams to accommodate our coaches.
Well, maybe in the future. Let's look at Brisbane. So they finished fourth, 14-14, same record as Adelaide. They've just re-signed Lamanis on a three-year deal. Who's a free agent for them? They only picked up options on declined Cam Bairstow.
Yep.
Are you surprised by that?
No, I think Cam's going to bust. Let's be honest. When he came back from the NBA, from the Olympics, we thought he was going to be the franchise. He was going to rip this league apart. He was going to be stage one of Andrew Bogut. If you call Andrew Bogut stage two, he was going to be stage one. And frankly, he was none of the above. Yeah. He was a disappointment. And I think he spent a lot of time trying to get his body right. And I'm not sure he ever has. Yeah. But if I'm a team like a Phoenix, I might have reached out to him as well and thought, you know what, let's give this
dollar
guy...
Dollar value would be low. I don't think there'd be a lot of competition.
Yeah, maybe. But anyway...
Body turns the corner.
Yeah, and maybe he now having had this jolt, because all he's had is positives. You know, he's come back from the States, just like he's going to be the franchise, and then he's got injured, and everyone's sort of on his side, and he's come back, and we're kind of nursing him through, and now he's basically got the first career slap in the face in terms of, no, we're not signing you, I'm sorry. We can do better. And I think what that sort of now goes, oh, wait, I've got a World Cup I want to go to, I've got a Tokyo Olympics I want to go to, I want a chance somewhere, I'd be looking at him, I would jump at him. But I'm not surprised at the Brisbane scenario at all.
Lamar Patterson, what's the likelihood they retain him, do you think?
I think there's more than one club interested in Lamar Patterson.
I would think so too.
So, yeah, I don't know. It depends how much money they shell out on a Nathan Sobey or...
Yeah.
Mark
Worthington, he was saying that Trimble to Brisbane is somewhat likely or possible.
If you play for Cairns, you've got to go to Brisbane before you can leave the country. That's apparently an unwritten NBL rule. There's more than enough teams chasing Mello's signature as well. Mm. You go, how many guards are they going to need? They still got Cam Glidden and Jason Kidd.
Well, that's Kidd what I was about to say. So they've got Cam, they've got Jason Kidd, and then obviously they're looking at Sobey, and then they're going to bring in Trimble as well. It's like, ooh. You know, you want to make sure you get results out of that because there's a lot of sort of money in the same place.
Well, I'm thinking Adam Gibson is piling up the moving truck and heading down to Melbourne.
Southeast Melbourne?
Yeah, Melbourne the city.
Yeah,
not necessarily Melbourne the club, yep.
Yeah, I think, I was about to ask you what's going to happen with him. I think he's still a really good backup. I think he's still got a lot to give to a lot of different teams, and Southeast Melbourne would be the most likely one.
Honestly, I reckon that Brisbane made the finals, and he, as a pretty much a direct result of the drive he brought off the bench.
Agreed.
He was right, really sort of like, come on, guys. It was him and Vekona, really, that were sort of the driving forces. The main guys were too often a little bit ordinary.
Mm. No, I agree. Sobey, their imports. So they've got Kendall and Davis. Do you think they'll retain either of those two?
No, I think Kendall's a Mr. Fix-It type. Mm-hmm. I don't see anybody signing him
you go.
I was going to say, I don't see anybody signing him to start a season. You're not going to convince your home fans that you're serious if you're signing Kendall, and I don't mean that as a knock on Kendall, because I think he's a great value, but your fans want to see some new blood, some fresh blood, some new talent, someone they can get excited about rather than, oh, we're just recycling this guy. So Kendall just needs to stay fit because at some point, a third of the way, half of the way through season, somebody's going to reach out to him.
For sure.
So that's where he comes into the picture. So I don't see him being retained. And I think Davis came with great raps, and I think they probably just want to wrap him up in the carpet now and roll him down the cellar and lock the door.
I like this. I don't think they're going to bring either of them back. Not unless in the same vein, with Kendall, the same vein that we're talking about, so halfway, three-quarters of the way through the season. Isn't he going to be, is he at all sort of a naturalising path as well, Kendall? Maybe not.
I think he would be well down that path. He's been here a long time. Yeah. He's played in Australia a lot. I don't know who his agent is now, but I know who his agent was previously, who I dealt with a lot, and that agent was working very hard to get him naturalised. So whether now under his new agent, whether they're still pursuing that. They certainly should, because that would open a lot of doors for him. There's guys like that, you know, from the recent past, like CJ Massengill and Daquan Montreal, guys like that who should have got citizenship, and then they could have filled roles on NBL teams. That they're not, because they're never going to get import spots.
No, I don't think so. Not unless it's halfway through
the course. Not until it's an injury or a cut situation. Yeah.
Let's go Sydney Kings. They've just got Will Weaver. They've re-signed Lish, Brad Newley, Kickett, and Wilson. My question is, does the re-signing of Wilson or picking up a Vivis option, does that put the AFL stuff to bed, do you think?
Oh, yeah, I think it does. And I think he'll be happy to have the opportunity to play for a coach that will perhaps better utilise him than his predecessor.
When they re-signed Kickett, I was like, oh, geez, I don't know if I would have leapt at him straight away. And then I just remembered, this team was, you can't gauge a lot of what's going to happen next season from what happened this year at the Sydney Kings. I felt they were a total hodgepodge.
Yeah. When you go back to what we were being spoon-fed at the start, and you would have heard this, because I know I heard it, and I refuted it straight away, that, Jerome Randall, Kevin Lish, Brad Newley, Daniel Kickett, Andrew Bogut. This will be the greatest team of all time. This will be the GOATs. This will be the team that will win the championship. This will be the team. And we're talking about commentators that should know better. We're feeding us this bunkum.
Yeah.
And I was trying to say, well, you know what? Jerome's the other side of 30. Lish is the other side of 30. Newley, Kickett, Bogut, they're all the other side of 30. Mm. So they're going to have that night, and it's going to happen a few times, where they're great. But they're also going to have that night where they're sort of feeling their age and the ball's on the floor, and it's like, do I dive on it or not? Whereas Tom Wilson will.
Yeah, I was really surprised by the lack of minutes for Tom Wilson. I thought Adam definitely earned his minutes, but there should have been a chance at which you could split him and get him in there somewhere, because I think he's a good player, full stop.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that Andrew Gaze, in the third year of a 3-year contract, was very much
driven.
Yeah, it wasn't process at all. It was like, we've got to come. This team's built to win now. I've got to win now.
Yeah.
I can't take chances on other people, and that was the problem, because I think they should have taken chances. They should have looked at some of those guys in that starting five that we just named that were all over 30 and gone, maybe we need to ease them out a little bit.
Yeah.
I think
this is a team that definitely got a bit of worn out towards the end. Their last two games against Melbourne were very much a bit of a collapse over. They knew they weren't winning and they were done.
Yeah.
But going back to Kickett, were you surprised that they leapt onto his option, or...?
Yeah, a little bit. So that's probably Will Weaver dealing with Kickett in the Boomer situation,
right?
Because prior to the incident in the Philippines, Daniel had been very good at the Asia Cup when we won it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Daniel Kickett and Mitch Creek were two certainties for the All-Star 5. Neither of them got in there, and Shea Ely did. I thought that was a real forehead slapper. That was sort of fever going on. You guys have to earn your dues, you little noisy Australians. So, and Weaver would have been involved in all that sort of build-up. So he's seen Kickett at his best.
Yeah.
And you know, earlier I just sort of said, sometimes age catches up to people really quickly.
Yeah.
They go from one season to the next, you go, whoa, he just aged. And I thought, Kickett. Yeah, I really do. So whether Will Weaver can get him drinking at the same fountain of youth that Alex Loughton was gulping at a couple of seasons ago, we'll see. But
I've actually got a little bit more. I just felt, as we said, like last year the team was coached by someone new to it, and it showed. And I still feel the Kickett's got a little bit more. I think he's going to have a better season. Maybe not as numbers wise, but as far as contribution wise, because he adds a certain dynamic to the game. He can shoot from outside. I think he's going to have an okay year. Looking at Randall's future, obviously you said how Adelaide are thinking about bringing him in.
The club is, the team isn't. So we're going to have a little issue here.
What about? I mean, what I found odd here was on the 19th of March he signed with Lokomotiv in Russia. And then, I mean, obviously he played his last NBL game on the 3rd of March. That's about 2 weeks break. I mean, for all that time, it was like, oh no, he was hurt in those games. He was injured. To then turn around and sign with a team in Russia in 2 weeks and fly over, it suggests to me that his performance in those games was not due to an injury, but just due to general fatigue towards the season end. Do you think that's the case?
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think you'll find if you look back through Jerome's history,
that's happened before.
Yeah, that was not an isolated situation.
I mean, what's funny? Lokomotiv's a big club in Russia.
Yeah.
So he's done well. Let's see who else.
But I mean, I don't know which clubs would be interested in him. I know that Brisbane wasn't. So then you sort of start to look at who might pick him up, and Adelaide. The coach definitely doesn't want him. Maybe New Zealand, you know, he could do all right there. Not the worst idea, but I haven't heard that. I'm just floating that as a
that would be a
smart tech. Yeah, yeah.
Looking also who they've got free agent wise, David Ware. I don't think so. Here's an unpopular opinion or question. Could it have been that the team last year with a change of coach? Could it have been that David Ware was not used correctly? And maybe he could add something different under a different system, or indeed, is he just not the right fit? Is he too similar to Newley and Kickett and Bogut in a way?
Yes. Okay. The short answer is yes. So I was going to give you a long answer, but the not short answer is yes.
I think that
was you know, like the thing is, I always determine a good player or a great player by how many great games of theirs I can remember, and if it's really hard because there's so many, then you've got a great player. But when you can say, yeah, remember that game where he hit the winner in Perth? Wow. Yeah, well, they played 30 games, and you can remember one
play.
That's
there's another game, he had another big shot, and that is really about it. Yeah, no, I don't think so. Looking else here, Kyle Adner. Do you want to bring him back?
That's an interesting one because...
I remember you saying Cairns, right?
I know Cairns are interested in him. I know that Cairns are keen.
Yeah.
So, and he could be an important cog there. But then, he's had a taste now. He's won a championship, and he had a taste of being a significant player on a significant team. Whether you want to go and be a more significant player on an insignificant team, all due respect to Cairns.
Yep.
Although that didn't sound very respectful, did it? Apologies to Cairns fans.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. But I don't know. But he's definitely, in the last couple of seasons, he's definitely proved he belongs in the NBL. Where when he first came in as a DP, there was that question mark. He'd been in Adelaide, he'd been in Illawarra, down in Melbourne, you know, and it was Demopoulos. It was really Dean Demopoulos that gave him the opportunity, less so with Dean Vickerman.
Honestly, looking at some of the rotations Sydney rolled out this year, I think that if you look at what he brings and what he can do, and then work out the matchups that are going to favour him on defence, because he is quite slight, you can actually make it really work even better than last season. So I'm a big fan.
But having said that, Joe, would you be better off doing that with Tom Wilson?
Well, yes, that's the exact question I was going to ask. Because not only do they play a similar game, but they almost look identical.
Yeah.
Could you replace
one's a bit? I think Tom's a bit bigger all around, though, bit.
And his hair is
So the question becomes, is it worth, like, what's the biggest upside of Kyle Adnam? Is it as big as the biggest upside of Tom Wilson? And if that is up for debate, then you've got to go with the younger guy. I think so.
And that's where I look at Kyle Adnam going somewhere else and actually being really, really good. My next thing is Brian Bowen is probably pretty likely to be drafted. He's sort of, the big boards have him on some of the late, very late second round, but that is a total crapshoot and total potluck. He's peaked at sort of 55. It's not a great spot to be in. Like, any team there can go anywhere or trade that pick, whatever. Let's say he's not drafted. Would it be highly likely that he returns to Sydney? Because I think his deal is that sort of, he does have another year with Sydney. It's technically a player option, I think, or a club option. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Does he get to play again as, you know, with that exemption, or does he have to play as an import?
I don't know. That's a very good question.
Okay, because if he has to play as an import,
No way.
Nope, not at all. But if if he's sort of part of that, well, I can't remember what that thing is called, the NBA, Rising Stars. There you go. I don't know, if you get a second year of being a rising star, you either have to have risen or bug it off. So, I don't think so.
You're a rising star and then you're a falling star, aren't you? Or a shooting, maybe you're a shooting star and then there's I don't know.
Maybe you're on cloud nine. Who knows? But the reality is that I suspect he would have to come back as an import. And in that situation,
not going
to
happen.
Well, I don't know. You don't know what the pieces might be that that Weaver weaves. So who does he know? He's in the G League. He's right across.
In the best G League team or yeah, high up one.
But he can see there who might be keen to come to Australia. So if he brings in two studs or two guys that are going to be studs in our league, then maybe you can get away with a Bowen. But I don't know. All up in the air.
All up in the air. Quick departure, Mitch Creek, do you think he's just signed that second deal in Minnesota? It looks really favourable for him that he's going to stay there in the NBA for next season. Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair to say. And that's what he's looking for, and that's what he's going to pursue with every fibre of his being, because he's got the safety net of Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. Yeah. He's got that safety net, so he doesn't have to worry about that. So he can give all his attention to the NBA. And if he does, as he will, then what's the likelihood of him sticking? Pretty good, I'd say. Pretty good.
Yeah, I think so too.
You asked me the other week, I said 100-0, so I haven't backed away from that.
What about Isaac Humphries, who's just signed a 10-day with Atlanta?
And I can see him doing well too. I think he was, what's the best term? Not underutilized, but misused. Not used to full effect at Sydney. And he probably made smart career choices in getting away. So I think the door's open to him. He's probably a little bit ahead of where Harry Froehlich is. Mm. Maybe doesn't have the outside game that Harry.
Yeah, can no, boast, Harry but, would be better from the outside.
But I don't. Yeah,
right place, right time.
Yeah, and you're 7 foot at the beginning of the game, and you're still 7 foot at the end of the game, and people
all their
like
bigs
that.
Are hurt. They got three big guys. I don't know the name of them, but they're all hurt. And you know, you got to put someone in uniform. May as well be Isaac Humphries, I guess.
Yeah, I hope he does really well. He deserves to. He works hard for it.
The next one they didn't pick up with a club option, Sydney, is Deng Deng. Are you surprised? I thought he was athletic. He's the right player.
He had the dunk of the year.
Yeah, with the turnaround.
But then you don't know what he might be asking. You know that sometimes agents ask for things that players don't even know that they're asking for. And so, I don't know. I think he would be smart to stay there, but then maybe Will Weaver's not that interested. So you don't know what all the backroom conversations are, you know.
Yeah.
But he seemed like a good young man, the same way that Majok Deng here in Adelaide. He's not a problem. He doesn't cause grief off the floor.
Good.
Quite the contrary.
I think Kevin Lish was a no-brainer. His age is the thing, but no, I think he can play. I think he's a good sign. It did say in the release it was just a multi-year. It didn't specify two or three or whatever, but I think he's a good player.
I think it'll be contingent on how many soft tissue injuries he starts to pick up. If he stays clear of them, I think you'll find that'll be 2 or 3 years. If they start to creep in, it'll probably be 1 or 2.
Yeah, same with newly. Oh, newly signed solid.
I was shocked by that. I was really shocked by that. I thought he might like to finish in Adelaide, but then you know Adelaide has to show an interest too, I suppose. I'm not sure that happened, but I'm really surprised that he didn't. He was an Adelaide 36ers player for about 5 minutes after his he came back from Europe before. Houston drafted him, and he was training under the Phil Smythe regime, and we always thought he'd end up here. So that surprised me. Yes,
from just a sort of doing one last run in Adelaide standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, he's an Adelaide boy. He came through the Forest Legals program, and his family are here. His
mum
and dad.
How long has he been in Sydney for?
He signed for the same 3 years as they brought in Kevin Lish and him and Andrew Gaze all at the same time.
He's probably pretty settled and. There you go.
Yeah.
Maybe they gave him a nice deal. Who's to know?
Yep.
Next up, Melbourne United. They've got McCarron, Goulding on the contract, Sam McDaniel. They haven't picked up the options on Craig Moller or Smith Milner. Are you surprised by that?
Moller, yes, because Moller followed Dean Vickerman down and from Sydney Kings and played and even made it to an Australian team, to a Boomers team, albeit. You know, the C team, but he's still got there. He's wearing green and gold, and he's got one to hang up in his closet that the rest of us don't. So he's done well for himself. That one surprises me. Smith Milner, he's been around the fringe for a few years now. If you're unable to really push your way into the main eight after about 2 or 3 years, it's time to look at the next kid.
Yeah. But no, Muller, yeah, I agree with Sprite. My question for this team is this team good enough to re-up and go around again, or do they have an obvious deficit they've got to look at?
Well, they've got to replace Josh Boone with a really strong centre. So again, you know, the rumour was Sean Long to Perth.
Sean Long is the king of the rumours.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Melbourne could pick him off too.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
It would be a very nice fit there for them as well, or a player of his ilk. All due respect to Josh Boone, we've seen Josh's best, and it was pretty good.
It was great.
But now we're not seeing that anymore, and it's time to move forward. Yeah. So now you bring in a fresh lease of life in the centre. You could probably get away with DJ Kennedy again if you wanted to, because he did come through when they needed him.
I felt he was good. I thought he was good. It's funny, at the end of the grand final, and everyone was kind of like, oh, you know, I actually felt DJ Kenny wasn't quite what they were after. I was like, oh, come on, you can't say that now. I thought he was good, and I think I like his sort of Swiss Army knife thing. I'd be surprised. I would actually be very surprised if they didn't bring him back.
Yeah, so now you got Casper, Chris Gould. I mean, obviously, I want to bring Casper back.
Obviously, Chris Goulding. There's talk of South East Melbourne. I think he's got a good thing in Melbourne. I don't think he'd go anywhere.
No, he seems to be fairly happy there. I don't. The guy that owns the league still owns Melbourne United, so I don't think he's going to be in any hurry to let him go. So I think if the basis of that team stays intact, they've got to get themselves a really good centre, probably an import, and they've got to get themselves a good power forward.
Yeah, do you think David Barlow stays with them?
I think David Barlow's got to go back to the bench. He had a really good year, but they didn't win it. So you've got to look, where can we improve? See, that again, a Cam Bairstow could fit in there quite nicely in a power forward spot playing alongside.
Not the sexiest kind of move, but yes.
No, but I'm saying if you retain a DJ Kennedy and a Casper Ware and you bring in an American centre, you're out of import options.
Yeah, true.
So the power forward is not going to be as sexy as if that was your import. But you know, it's best if you can return him back to where he was when he played for us at the Olympics.
Someone's rolling that dice.
Yeah.
It may still be Brisbane. It doesn't seem that way, but it's going to be someone. And I think they might just be rewarded for it. I don't know. The odds would be pretty good at it being rewarded.
Yeah, and then you still got David Barlow backing him up. So you know, that's not a bad looking lineup.
Do you think
that could go?
Like, I think they've sort of gone cold on Moller and not picked up his club option because they, like we do, like the look of Venky Joyce. And I think he's the guy to replace Moller's minutes off the bench.
Yep.
And am I reaching to say that he could be that starting power forward?
Maybe you might be reaching a bit. But he's a very exciting prospect and between him and Craig Moller, I'd be letting Moller go. So then that's what's happened. So you can see that they're seeing a place in for him in the rotation. Now, what he does over, you know, the off season will play a big role in determining what he's able to do next season.
I've heard he's working on his free throws and his form and a few things. So yeah, well, I'm behind him as you are.
Yep.
We'll see what happens there. Casper Ware, he's 29 years old. Just one thing about him: his free throws were down. He shot 123 free throw attempts last year. He's down to 98 this year, and his 3-point attempts were way up from 197 last year to 227 this year. And Chris Goulding kind of the same.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Do you play social basketball?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yep, so do I. And when I used to play for real, I went into the Keyway.
Mm.
And as I got older,
you go outside.
I started to get into the Keyway less and just settle for the old 3-point bang because you're not going to get hurt there. So
it's found money. It's coins between the couch.
So you got 123 free throws from a guy that's going to the basket and getting fouled to 98 free throws for guys maybe not going there as often anymore, settling for the three a little bit more than he used to. Those aren't good signs.
I always look to free throw attempts for this metric, and they're down in both their backcourt guys. And I mean, they're young enough where it shouldn't be. It's always an age thing, but they're young enough where it seems to me it's kind of like a bit of a system thing. They seem to get a little bit scared and be pretty comfortable throwing it up from the outside. I think they there's no red button or anything. They've just got to recommit to actually getting tough for this team.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's actually a player you bring in who, oh, he's going to bring his toughness. No, it's just across the board. They just have to attack the basketball because they've got the horses.
But as you get older, you're inclined to do it less because the ice bath after the game is not that much fun. And so you don't want your body to take quite the beating. So, you know, you used to drive 10 times a game. Now you're driving four. You know, and you, so if you're seeing those signs already statistically, then that is a early warning signal.
Yeah, and I mean, when Josh Boone, I think, was always tentative of getting fouled because he couldn't make the foul shots. So I think a big who can finish around the rim and hit some free throws and just reinvigorate that attack at the hoop and then do it through the club. I think that would be their big focus this year, I think.
Yeah, because 8 minutes out of Alex Pledger, 8 to 10, is good. It's really good, solid stuff. He'll give you a really good bat. When you're asking him to give you, you know, 2-3 times that amount, well, he's going to struggle. But backing somebody up, that's going to be hard.
I agree. Let's go on. Perth Wildcats, they won it. You would agree that this team's good enough just to sort of re-up, go again. The Sean
They were terrible. I don't know how they did it. They need another import, crying out loud.
Now they thought about that. They do need a third import. I think that's... I mean, you know, so they've got Cotton under contract for years, Nick Kay's under contract, Mitch Norton. We spoke about Brandt leaving. I think that's interesting. I mean, not surprising. I think he's going to test himself.
Yeah. Good luck to him. Hats off to him.
Yeah, definitely. The question then is, Tom Jervis is in a nice little position where I believe he played this season with his family over East, which is never a great situation for a person.
No.
But he's also come to the table of, Angus Brand is gone. You're probably looking around at an import, but, you know, I'm a good backup.
Maybe. He is.
Because I honestly thought he was, if I had to say whether he was leaning towards retirement or playing again, I would have said under the circumstances of, you know, not being in the same place as family, he would have leant towards retirement. But now situations have changed. Maybe he comes back. Do you think they're looking at him again?
Yeah, I think they would be. I think you're 100% correct that winning, going out on a championship, great note. Not only that, he played well. He helped them get it. You know, he didn't have a good season, but when push came to shove down the stretch, he was there. Mm. And so you go, that's a good note to end on. Wait a minute, Angus is not playing? Okay, I might have another year in me. It's a bit like with
the wife. One more year. Come on.
But you think back to the Bulls that year when they sort of dissipated, and if they'd known that it was going to be a lockout season coming up the year after, they might have stuck together and won a fourth and a seventh title overall. So if you sort of know something in advance, and now he knows in advance that Angus Brandt's gone, you tend to maybe go, maybe go around one more time.
I mean, I'm surprised they haven't locked up Damian Martin before free agency or even now. It's a foregone conclusion, I would think.
I think it is. I think the only even minuscule, very small font and very small type size question mark on Damien was if Bevo got the Sydney Kings job.
Good point. It didn't happen.
And he didn't. So that's not going to happen. And I think, you know, Damo's got his own real estate business, hasn't he? Or something
he does,
like that. Yeah. He's settled in Perth. He's identified as a WA icon. I think he's probably said to them, take care of these other guys and come back to me when we're done. I don't think you need to sweat a single bead over a Damo. He'll be there.
I agree with you that very, very small font Beveridge, but it'd be more likely Beveridge comes over at the end of Gleason's contract. I don't know. But no, he'll be there. Jesse Wagstaff didn't have a great year. Stepped up a little bit in the finals.
Tell me something. Was he injured? Was he carrying injury or what, most of the season? There were games he did not look healthy.
The games he looked really, really sore and sorry. I mean, I actually don't remember ever hearing anything official.
Okay. So it might have just been wear and tear.
I just think it's wear and tear. And I think this team does have to look at itself pretty honestly and go, yes, we won, but, you know, it's 200 days till the next season. We do need to get, we need a little bit of something because it's going to be another year on top. I think if they were just too eager to just go, yep, we'll just go around again, I think they might just get a little bit pinched there, especially if they had an injury or a slump of bad form. And Jesse Wagstaff is one where I'm like, ooh.
They did expose us to a couple of good young kids, though, too, towards the end of the season. But their names escaped me. I mean, he was the bigger kid. The other sort of Clint's comment.
Very unique haircut, the swoop across, sort of the McDonald's arches type thing with the head. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah,
I don't think that's one of their sponsors either. That's, I'll flag that with the league.
He's exactly the guy I meant. But you know, he's a kid with talent.
Talent. You can see super young. And so, it's like 18,
but yeah, but you know, that, maybe you take a chance on people and you move forward. You sort of like. I remember when they took a chance on Greg Hire, this kid that comes off the bench and never seen him before, and he's grabbing offensive rebound, hitting a three, and you're thinking, okay.
Mm. Yeah, that's super tough. Steindl's a free agent.
Yeah, again, I reckon his re-signing will be contingent on some of the other pieces they're looking to get.
I think they bring him back.
I'd be surprised if they didn't. You know, because... He settled in, and Kayla's settled in. His wife settled in. She's got another year to run with
and
the Lynx.
He's running around with Perry Lakes, Hawks in the SBL. So you know he hasn't gone overseas or anything. He seems pretty entrenched. Tariko White obviously is a huge one for them. I mean, is it likely they bring him back? He's lived very much a journeyman's life. He does a year in Korea. He does it in Serbia. You know, he's not afraid to bounce around.
No, maybe he's. I don't know him, so I don't know whether he's the sort of guy that wants to see the world and is using basketball as his passport. And if he is, hats off to him.
Yeah.
But he also may be a guy that didn't find the environment that he wanted to return to. He found the environment that he enjoyed, and he didn't. But now, would you not want to come back into Perth where people love you, where you got 13,000 people?
It's a good environment.
It's fabulous, and where you're treated like a bit of I don't know, hero worship, but you're really treated well.
Did you see the yacht they were on at season's end?
So you hear what I'm saying? It's like there's a lot of attractiveness about coming back.
And then also you can always play with Perth in your NBL season, and then you've got 200 some days to fool around with where you could, if you wanted to, go and play in Russia like Randall or Puerto Rico is lovely, I hear, you know?
Yep. You don't rule out your opportunities with our season ending when it does. You don't rule out all kinds of options. Look at the little opportunity that Andrew Bogut jumped into. You know, so there's
incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, there's great options that are there by the way our league is structured. So I would think they'd like to bring him back. Yeah. I can't remember the last time they brought both imports back because I know that they had Ennis and Beal, and then Ennis was gone, and then like I'm trying to think back through that period to now, where usually one comes back.
Yeah, I'm scratching my brain. It's not in the recent.
Yeah, this would be the first time they'd be bringing two back. I mean, obviously Bryce has already signed, but bringing him back would not be a bad thing.
No, hopefully they do it. What was I going to say here? Everyone wants to know, are they going to have a third import going into next season?
Oh, yeah, they have to now that Angus has left. Rack your brain and tell me what great Australian centre they can bring in. And if you can't come up with a real snappy answer, then the answer is obviously an import. So that's where your third import will be. I mean, they had Jamil McKay a couple of years ago. It's not like they haven't been able to find import centres that were good enough in our league.
Yeah.
So I think that's definitely where they go.
My next question, with Melbourne, Southeast Melbourne Phoenix coming into the league, you've got a whole bunch of new spots. Who are sort of the kids coming out of college who are, like, who would be the top three or four or five guys coming out of college who are any good and likely to take those spots? Do you know of any?
I don't, but I know Tommy Greer and Liam Santa Maria would be all over that.
I think they are.
You know, absolutely all over that. And also, they'd be all over the Australian kids playing in Europe that are coming out of contract as well, because we tend to sort of forget that there are guys that get hidden away playing over there. And by signing Ben Magin, they already showed us, they already tipped their hand that they're looking at Europe. Yeah, they know who's over there. And so I'm expecting that team to be really competitive from day one. I don't think they're not going to go the way of Brisbane, you know, be bottom for 2 years and then start to look like a club. And I think they're going to be right out in the mix straight away. Not a championship contender, but in the mix straight away for finals.
They'll definitely be in that 4-5 wildcard playoff. I definitely think.
Yeah.
Southeast Melbourne. Do you know the pronunciation, firstly, and then also if he's any good? Chima Maneki? Am I pronouncing that anyway correctly? Have you seen him play?
I think that sounds pretty good.
I think so too. You seen him play?
I think, I have only seen video highlights of him, which are always good. You know, you don't put your highlight up when you're on a fast break and you dribble it on your foot. But So, yeah, but highlights don't tell you so much. I've read some stuff about him, and I think they're looking at him coming off their bench. So he's not going to be a marquee player or a monster in our league. He'll be a serviceable backup guy for him.
I'm guessing sort of a Bowen-esque.
Yeah.
I think looking at Bowen as well, like I was looking at him side by side with Terrence Ferguson, former 36er who's been drafted. Their vital, you know, their size is the same. Their stats in the NBL are almost identical. The only thing that really separates the two of them is, other than the head, is Terrence Ferguson had sort of Team USA experience in the sort of under 16s and 19s and things. But you know, other than that, I mean, Ferguson went what 15th. Bowen's looking at 50th. It's luck of the draw, bit of a break.
It's funny because there's a lot of criticism of Ferguson post NBL career, saying, "Oh, you know, Bowen's had a much more impactful career than Ferguson had in the NBL." Well, Ferguson was here to become an NBA player, and is he an NBA player?
He is.
Hell yeah, he is.
He's a good
Hell
one.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. So I think that's where, you know, we started this conversation. We're talking about Joey becoming unpopular with players. I think players that have aspirations to play at NBA level, like Joey, a lot.
The first phone call.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we got Jack McVay here. That's why we got Harry Froehlich here in Adelaide, because of him. And Drimmick is the same. So, I think when we go back to Ferguson, I think Ferguson got exactly what he wanted out of the experience in Australia. Sure. And I don't know that Bowen is going to have a comparable career.
No, there's an intangible to Ferguson that I know I never can't quite put my finger on, but it's working for him, so that's the main thing.
No, it's his length and his commitment to play defense. You see, you don't see that all the time. He really wants to stop guys, and so they're using him in a defensive capacity. He gets to guard a lot of studs now.
Mm. You watching a bit of NBA?
Yeah, from time. But I've got to confess that while the NBL season's on, I'm a bit blasé about it. But then once we're finished tonight, I sort of switch to it, and especially so with Bogut going back. Yeah. And I'm always keen to see anything where Paddy Mills might be playing or Joe Ingles might be playing.
I'm Joe watching Ingles it. Had that really nice game in the sort of autism awareness game and career high assists and all sorts of stuff. So he's doing great.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal human being. He's always been like that. He hasn't really changed. He's one of the few people, when they signed him to his multi-million dollar contract, that actually said, this is a whole lot more money than I'll ever need. You know, not many people say that.
No, not many people say that. I've heard stories of, like, you know, Leandro Barbosa signed his contract and, like, slept in his locker room for the first month or something because he was used to just living in a small space and he saved money doing that. You hear that, but yeah.
Chris Hansen has a great story like that too, that he told at the breakfast of the NBA draft when Andrew Bogut was taken at number one by Milwaukee. He was a guest speaker at that, Chris Anstey, having played for Dallas Mavericks and the Chicago Bulls, and had quite a nice career. And he said when he got his first check, his first NBA check, he looked at it and he said, they could have got me for a lot cheaper than they realized.
No, it's true.
It was bigger than his best NBL check for a season.
Speaking of big guys who go over there, like I've always been perplexed by Bradkey. Definitely could have played over there and played big and well and made big money, but just seemed to love Adelaide. And just
not so much Adelaide. I think he just
Australia.
Because he left Adelaide for to play for Murcia in Spain, and then they cut him, and then he came back and held out and crossed to the Melbourne Tigers. No, I think he just, when he went to the Philadelphia 76ers, he didn't go on massive money, but he went on good money, but not massive money. And then when they started to play him a little bit, this was in Allen Iverson's period, when they started to play Bradkey a bit, it became a little bit political because the situation at that club then isn't what it is now. And so what you had was agents and owners ringing the coach saying, why are you playing this guy that we're paying, you know, 200 grand for, and not playing this guy that we're paying 1.2 million for? So, you know, he was a victim of the politics of the sport because anytime he was on the floor, he did well. And people wanted to see more of him, but it was like, hang on a second, we're paying this guy 20 million and this guy 200 grand. No, you play this guy.
Yeah, make sure it happens,
This is the one that's bringing people through the door. Yeah. And really, coach's only argument is, well, I'd like to win games. and maybe that'll get people through the door. And they go, okay, well, you go win games somewhere else because we're sacking you. So that was
Brad. A very similar situation happened with Chris Kaman at the Clippers when Mike Dunleavy was both coach and general manager. I think he felt a certain pressure to actually play him in games ahead of some other guys.
Yeah,
that happens. Fair enough. Lastly, we'll end on books. Book I came across the other day, it's a nice one, is Can I Keep My Jersey by Paul Shirley. Have you read that one?
No, I haven't.
You haven't read that?
No, I have not. No,
that features a very interesting little chat with Chris Anstey, whom the two played with each other because Paul Shirley was a small-time player in the NBA and then went over to Europe, played in Russia with Anstey. And I think there's a chapter devoted to Chris Anstey. I haven't read it in a long time. My copy is on the other side of the country, but I'm going to be reunited with it soon, and I'm going to bring that back up. But that's a good one.
Okay, because Chris, I don't think we know enough about Chris Anstey.
He doesn't have a book.
No, and I've offered to write one for him many times.
And what does he say?
Well, he's quite keen, actually, so I don't know what... my thing is, ultimately, we've got to have a publisher before we go to work, because it's a lot of work to do a biography, and then to then try and peddle it to a publisher... after the work's done, it's a bit of a drag. But if you've got a guaranteed book deal, then I'm in, boots and all. And Chris has got a great story to tell. He's got a great turn of phrase and a great ability to speak. I'd love to do his story.
Yeah, because I said to him on Twitter the other day, I was like, have you written a book? And he goes, no. I said, it must have been this Paul Shirley one, because it's the highlight of the book. And he didn't even write it. So I was like, wow, I was shocked. I was like, no. I was sort of just going to take him to task. I said, you have a book. Someone's written a book about it. But the other thing is, maybe a book's a lot of work. Maybe an audio book. Just put a microphone in front of me and just from start to finish, just chats.
I don't know, but I do know this. At the time when he was playing in the NBA, our access to NBA coverage was nothing like it is now. And so,
what, sort of 90... Well, he was at the Dallas Mavericks when they had Gus Pinot or something. Is that the name of the?
He's just there after the Jordan period, is when he gets to Dallas, and then after that he gets to Chicago. So he's a little bit removed because he played for Dallas against Jordan. He had one game against Jordan.
Wow.
So that was it, and then Jordan was gone, and then
Russ
a little Pinot while later
was it? But that would be incredible because that owner of the Dallas Mavericks, I think. He missed the start of the regular season because he was circumnavigating either America or the globe in a helicopter, and then came back and signed Anstey. Anyway, he was a very eccentric owner and sold the team for a lot less than he probably could have to Mark Cuban. But yeah, I think Anstey's one. Keep the heat on him to get that done.
Yeah, because we don't know. We don't know all those great anecdotes that would have happened throughout his career. And this is before he gets to Russia, which is going to be a whole other kettle of fish and very interesting in his own
life. Did he have a situation where they held out his passport and cash or something?
I'm sure he's got a zillion stories of situations like that. I mean, Lauren Jackson did. I mean, one of the best parts of her book was just finding out what happened to her when she was in Russia, because you just don't know. Well, the owner of her team was the victim of a mafia hit. So there's a lot of stuff.
I'll get a copy of that. I think it's...
But some of the more interesting stuff, because it's what we don't know anything about. I said this to you about with Andrew Gaze's book, that the parts I found the most interesting was when he was in Greece and Italy, because I knew nothing about that.
Nothing about it. Yeah. Anyway, buddy, I'll end it there.
Okay.
Always a pleasure. I'll speak to you in the near future.
Look forward to it.
Likewise. Ciao.
All the best. Ciao.
Bye.